chapter 31. Hopefully we'll finish this book of Proverbs with 31 chapters. What did it take us? About 27 weeks? Is that close? Right in there, 28. It's close. Half a year. Short book. Okay. Verse 1. The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, if you looked at this on your own, and you did a study through your Bible of King Lemuel. Hopefully you probably thought of this already. And you thought, King Lemuel, I don't remember him. Hopefully you went back knowing we're going to do chapter 31. Especially you ladies, who although I consider this a man's Bible study, I don't know, it seems to be that women do a lot of teaching out of this, two women. And so I would hope that you probably already went and looked up King Lemuel and you already know who he is. There was no King Lemuel in all of Jewish history and all of their writings. There was no King Lemuel. And so for a while, people didn't understand what was going on. But the scholars tell us that Lemuel was a nickname that was used. And so it looks like the person that's writing here is none other than, you guessed it, King Solomon. This was another one of his nicknames, it looks like. Now, one of the nicknames that he received basically from God himself. I know that you know that. I'll just remind you. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, he's given the nickname of Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. Now, that is important for you and I to know, because Solomon came around at an interesting time. I mean, right before Solomon, he had a brother who died. Do you remember all about his brother that died? His brother died as a little infant. You remember that? The baby that David, King David and Queen Bathsheba, they had that baby together, and that baby didn't live. And so interesting that even the Lord would give him a nickname of Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. You would think that maybe God wouldn't like him as much because of the way he sort of got there through the marriage of his parents that wasn't quite as legitimate as you would have liked it to have been. Well, it looks like his mother, although King Solomon is writing this, read, these are the prophecies that his mother taught him. Now, if it truly is King Solomon, who would his mother be? Bathsheba, that's right. Very good. This is easy. Lemuel, the word means devoted to the Lord. Of course, that does sound like a nickname your mother would give you, doesn't it? Whether you were or not, your mother would think so. Talk to mothers and ask them how their kids are. And most of them will tell you how well those kids are doing. But this mama called him Lemuel. It means devoted to the Lord. Now, later on in life, Solomon was not Lemuel. Remember? If you remember the story of King Solomon, later on in his life, he didn't follow the advice of his father nor of his mother. He also did not obey the word of God, and he multiplied to himself wives and concubines, and he multiplied to himself horses. And of course, to get those horses, he would have had to have gone down and traded with Egypt, which God strictly forbid. I mean, Solomon just plain wasn't devoted to the Lord much later on. And so we have seen in our reading of Scripture, since Genesis, coming all the way through, we've seen many men and women start out good and finish poorly. Paul, the apostle, talks about that about himself. I'll paraphrase it. As you go reading through Paul's letters, he says, I want to finish well. He encourages Timothy, fight the fight, finish well. Titus, he encourages all those guys that he writes to, finish strongly. Have a good kick near the end of the race, because there are examples of people who didn't finish well. And of course, you and I aren't finished yet. How do I know that? Because we're here. When we're finished, we'll leave this job and go on to the more important one. But right now, we've got a job to do. We've got a race to run. We've got assignments to complete, and we ought to finish well. Solomon did not finish well. But his mother called him devoted to the Lord. Lemuel. Now, you also want to keep in mind that before we get into this is Bathsheba, if this is truly her that is encouraging here, this mother, she has been through a lot in her lifetime, wouldn't you say? I mean, she was married to Uriah the Hittite, which means probably she was of a Hittite descendant, probably. She ran herself into a little bit of trouble. Her and the king had a problem, and you know the whole story. And her husband was murdered. It was in battle, so it looked like regular old war, but it was murder. God called it murder. The Bible calls it murder. When she is talked about in the New Testament, when Solomon is listed, you're going to see in the genealogies that she is called the wife of Uriah. Her name isn't mentioned, and she is not called the wife of David, even though the child is David's, which is Solomon. And you know all that. I'm just reminding you of these things. See, she had a lot going on in her life before King David, and then once she married King David, a whole lot more went on also. You recall that because of that sin, God said to David that the sword will never leave your house. Now, we understand that never means never. And the sword never did. Even after David was gone, there was still trouble. Notice the sin passed down from generation to generation. Still happens. Don't think that there's no forgiveness. There's forgiveness in Jesus, but there are consequences, and we all live with those, of course. So here we begin, now that you have an idea basically of what's going on. Verse 2 says, what, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Now, that may seem an odd scripture, but what is being communicated in the language is this. What can I say to you? What advice can I give to you to encourage you and to make sure you go in the right direction? There are times when parents will try to do that. They'll say, well, my son is joining the army or going off to college. What can I say to him? I'm really just praying about what to say. I'm looking for a verse to give to him, or my daughter's getting married, or she's going to join the circus. And what verse can daughters do that? What verse could I give to them? How can I encourage them? How can I help them? And that's what this mother is struggling with here. What can I say to you? You know, sadly, this boy didn't listen for long. But here the heart of the parent is still the same. What advice can I give you to encourage you? Because you have been promised to the Lord. Now, I'm paraphrasing. She says, the son of my vows. She has made promises to God for this boy, Solomon. Or for this boy, if you choose to go back, Lemuel. This mother has made vows, promises. If you think back to Hannah, remember the promises that she made to the Lord for that little boy. What was his name? Nope, not Frank. What? Samuel. Good, good. No, not Fred. You're close, but yeah. Here is a mother who promised him to the Lord. And there you can see the name or the nickname, Lemuel, devoted to the Lord. He was given that name not because of how he acted when he was little. He was given that name because of what his mother had promised to the Lord. And she says, what words of wisdom can I give him? How can I make sure he is encouraged and goes in the right way? And she begins, do not give your strength to women. Well, if this is Solomon, did he listen to that? No, and it cost him. She says, don't give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. She warns him first about sexual sin. Don't give your strength to women. Sexual sin, which would also include adultery, which Solomon was more than guilty of with 700 wives and 300 concubines. It will destroy you, she says. Your heart, your mind, even your physical body. Don't give your strength to that. See, it will take your life. Every one of you, every one of us, has at least a little bit of health, a little bit of energy, a little bit of strength, and a little bit of time on this earth. And she says, how can I encourage you to be sure that you go the right way? First, don't give your strength away to women, she says to this young man. Why? Nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It'll destroy you, she says. And she mentioned kings because Lemuel's a king. And he's got to take over the king job. And she wants him to be a good king. Ways that destroy kings. Now, this woman would know that, wouldn't she? If she was the mother of the king, she would know because she would be married to the king, wouldn't she also? Or have been married to the king. David learned those ways. And it looks here that she could be saying, I see the tendencies of your father in you. I see your father in you. Now, I was just reading, I don't remember, I think it was Thursday, about a young lady who has never met her real father, but she was planning to meet him. She had been adopted and she wanted to meet him. And all her life, though she didn't even know who he was, all her life, she thought about him and wanted to meet him. And she wondered why she didn't look like anybody else in the family. And she said, even my sense of humor is different than the rest of my family, but I never could understand it. But she was given permission to meet her real father, and she was just like him. She had never seen him in her life, didn't know who he was, but when she turned 18, by law, the law would allow her to open the records and see, and she turned out to be a lot like him. How is that possible? He wasn't there to influence her. How is it possible? This queen mom is saying, I see the tendencies in you that were in your father. Now, everybody, I know you're going to hate this. We all hate it. But you are like your mother. And you are like your father. And it's the one thing you dreaded and hoped would never be. Of all the things you never wanted was to be like them. But they are in you. You are part of them. You will never get away from it. Sorry. So she encourages her son. She says, don't give your strength to women. Your father did. Nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Be wise, young son. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink, forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So here is some more encouragement now. Wisdom for this young man. She speaks of the dangers of alcoholism. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. You want to avoid that. Don't drink, O king, son of mine. Don't do it. It will, notice what drinking will do, it will cloud your memory. It'll wreck your memory. You won't remember. You won't be clear thinking and you won't be able to remember. And it will make your judgments shaky at best. You won't remember well, so you might not even remember what the law says about what you're dealing with. And it will make your judgments very, very cloudy, unclear, shaky, not solid. And who wants to go before that kind of a judge, before that kind of a king? You don't want to go before someone that's handling your case, and that someone can't even think clearly. Wouldn't that make you a little nervous? Yes, it would. Whether you admit it or sure it would. And she says, it's not for kings. That's, drinking is not for those who have responsibility, is what she says. So again, as we fight over, battle the question, can a Christian drink? Once again, we're called to judge the world, Paul tells us. He tells the Corinthian church. We'll judge angels. We're to adjudicate even in this life. Therefore, we need clear heads, as clear as they can be. Now, as we get older, the memory seems to go by itself. Unless you listen to Christian radio and you buy those, there's tablets that'll bring your memory back. I heard that. I thought that's cool. Probably try one of those. But I can't remember the toll-free number. Oh. I mean, let's face it. Your memory, it goes on its own, doesn't it? Anybody ever passed 40 yet? You have passed, I mean, sometimes you think, you know, I think I'm really getting old. I'm not worried. It doesn't matter to me. Because I'm starting to remember things really clearly of when I was 12, and I can't remember which socks I put on this morning. And someone said, that's just a simple sign of being old. You know, and it's coming in handy because I'm starting to forget which one of you insulted me. And so I'm going, oh yeah, I think I still like her. Oh yeah, yeah. Didn't she say something bad to me? I don't remember. It's turning out great. But imagine if you started to mix alcohol with all that. You just speed up the process. So it's going to make your memory no good. You're not going to be good for anyone. And your judgments are going to be very shaky, not solid. And not acceptable if you're in leadership, or especially if you're a king or judge. She says, now, it's not for kings. You give strong drink to the person that's dying. That's what it says. And you give wine to those that are of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty. Remember his misery no more. Now, you don't misunderstand what the wisdom is here. Let me say it in another way. The alcohol, in this case, is used to deaden pain, physical or emotional. Notice that? She's not suggesting that if you're really poor and you're bummed, go out and get drunk. It doesn't say that. That's what Christians determine it to mean. That seems to be a tendency of mankind. They get real depressed and sad, and they go out and they drink. I've heard lately many Christians are doing that. And they say it's scriptural. I see it in Proverbs 31. Well, let's just talk about what she just said. She just said, in our language, strong drink is an escape from reality, is what she just said. It's not for people who want to think clearly and want to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. It's for those who want to run away, which of course she's saying to the king. The king wants to avoid that. The king does not want to escape. He wants to continue with his responsibilities in all solidness and honesty. She says, you give strong drink to those who are trying to run and hide, which is a weakness. Those that are dying, you know, now they don't give them strong drink. They give them strong drugs. And the drugs are designed to take them out of reality. So that when they're dying, hopefully they're in less pain. It takes them away from and out of reality. That's not what you and I are about. That's not the way we want to live every day of our lives, in the twilight zone, numb all the time. It doesn't help. People say it helps. No, it helps nothing. And plus, you can't remember because now you got less brain cells to deal with. It's a sad case, and it's common. She says, open your mouth for the dumb. Now, the dumb means someone who cannot speak or someone who is unable to talk for themselves. Open your mouth for the dumb in the case of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Again, wisdom. Defend those that cannot defend themselves. Speak up for those who are unable to speak up for themselves. The scripture is used, and I think rightly, without doing damage to the text, the scripture is used in the abortion issue. Christians will say we're speaking out for those who are unable to speak out for themselves. That's what the king was told to do. That's wisdom. And deliver those who are in danger. It's good advice for the king to follow. Now she's going to start talking to him about a woman. She's going to, this is a mother, and she's going to, with all the years that she's got behind her, she's going to talk to him about a woman. This is the kind of woman that he ought to be on the lookout for. This is what he's looking for. Remember, she's saying, what can I say to you? How can I encourage you? How can I be sure that you'll head in the way that's right? So she's given him some counsel. And now she says, and being a woman, he says, remember, I wrote this down. This is the wisdom from my mom. Being a woman, she says, now I know what women are all about. So I know what I'm talking about. So she says here, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman. So that's what the king's looking for. If he wants to get married, then he's looking for a virtuous woman. She says, who can find one? That tells us that they just aren't a dime a dozen. That you're going to have to do some looking. Virtuous means trustworthy, dependable. We're not talking about a used car now. Be careful. Trustworthy, dependable, faithful. And the virtuous also includes strength and character, a woman of noble character. I didn't see anything in there about looks. Must be a misprint. Must have been taken out by the original writers, huh, guys? No, it's in there. It'll be right near the end. Right near the end of the chapter, we'll get to the looks. So don't worry. It's not left out. Trustworthy, dependable, faithful, woman of strength, a woman of noble character. Who can find one? The Bible goes on to say, and this is a woman that is giving the wisdom. Her price is far above rubies. She is more valuable than precious stones. The way you and I would say that today, using a cliche, is she is worth her weight in gold. The heart, verse 11, she's going to describe it to us now. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That just means in our language, I'm going to take it slowly, so I see you're writing. That means her husband has complete confidence in her at all times. That means at all times. So that whatever he's got to do, he can go do that, not concerned about what's going to happen while he's out doing what God's called him to do. And the verses 11 and 12 go on to say, she is an asset, not a liability. She supports and encourages her husband. She doesn't tear him down or fight against him. She supports and encourages. In other words, in our language, she helps instead of hurts the situation. That's what a virtuous woman would do, his mother says. She'll do him good and not evil her entire life. Remember, the idea here is that the one man, the one woman would get together and stay together. That was the concept. And of course, the mother is saying to the son that that's a concept. That's what she's communicating. This is going to be when you find one, she will do you good and not evil all the rest of your life. Now we read verse 13. I've heard women complain about this one. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it's night, gives food to her household and a portion to her maidens. All right. Let's put that in our language. Lemuel, she serves her household continuously. She works with her hands. Now, I put a little note in here because as I'm looking at cross-references, I noticed a lot of the cross-references cross-reference love verses. Interesting thought, hmm? Meaning, only love can serve like that. And if someone is doing that and not doing it in love, don't be surprised if eventually they crack up. Don't be surprised if eventually they throw down the towel, walk out, and say, I'm gone. Don't be surprised because it is not being done in love. It is being done because I'm supposed to. I think a lot of times Christian women are in that category. They do it not because they love the Lord and want to serve, but because they're supposed to. If you're doing something because you're supposed to, it's not going to last. You'll see a Martha as opposed to a Mary, and Jesus will talk to Martha about that. See, it becomes, if it's not done in love, it becomes a drudgery. It becomes a grind instead of a blessing and a privilege. But here's something that most women seem to agree with. I know most men do. Like the merchant ships, ready for this? In our language, it means she brings home unusual items from her shopping. I don't know. I mean, most people could say, yeah. Unusual items home from her shopping. Like the merchant ships. From far away, she brings that food. What is that? Hey, it was on sale. Cool. I think they make these things in Poland. Try one. That's what it means. That's what the literal meaning is. She brings home unusual items from her shopping. She rises also while it's night. The girl's getting nervous. Gives food to her household, portion to her maidens. All we're being told is she serves. She works diligently, takes care of her home and her family. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. It's not talking about weightlifting. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. Wow. In our language, I think basically I'm trying to boil these thoughts down so you can get the thought. The thought is this virtuous woman has a healthy attitude about her work, about what she does. I think that you have seen among women, encouraged by other women, that to stay home and to care for your family is a low calling. That seems to be the attitude around here. But this woman doesn't feel that way at all about her caring for her family. She doesn't feel like it is a less of a job and she's less of a human. Notice she has a healthy attitude about her work. She goes about her work knowing just what to do and how to handle it, and she does it. I talk to women who are embarrassed that they stay home and take care of their children. Because they say, well, people laugh at us. We don't have as much stuff. And they say, listen, a virtuous woman would do that. You say, well, I'm virtuous and I work. But no, it's not a sin. We can't fight. We don't have time. Just understand that if you do stay home and care for those children, for that family, you're not any less. You're not any weaker. Matter of fact, you're stronger, it says. You work with your arms. Lift weights here. Okay. Her candle doesn't go out by night. What does that mean? She never goes to sleep. A really godly woman is always awake. No, it doesn't say that. Ha ha ha. It doesn't say that. Were you scared just for a second? Nah. All it means is she simply takes time to plan ahead before the next day begins. That's literally what it means. She knows what's coming. And if she's like those merchants, she knows what's on sale before the stores open tomorrow. She knows what's coming. She simply takes the time to prepare and to be ready for the upcoming, whatever that might be. And of course, she perceives her merchandise as good. She knows what she's buying. She knows what she's getting. She knows how to deal with it. Verse 19 says, she lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Wow. She works hard, and at the same time she does not neglect the poor or the needy. Cold weather doesn't bother her. Because, simply what the Bible says is, she's prepared for it. She's gotten her family prepared for it. She spares no cost to protect her family from the cold. When you're talking about scarlet, you're talking about very expensive clothing. In other words, whatever it takes to keep the little ones warm, if they need to go to walk to school or if whatever, then she sees to it. She makes sure that the family is protected from the cold, so she's not afraid. When winter comes, we can handle it. Verse 22 says, she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. And her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and she sells it and delivers girdles to the merchant. Okay. Now let's see what the thought is here. I know some of you say, I can't make clothes. I'll never be one of those. I mean, if a guy's looking for that, guys, if you're looking for women that make her own blankets, wait, let's see what it says. She takes care in her own clothes as well, is what it means. Now today, many people don't make their own clothes, and that's fine. And the way she dresses, notice it talks about the way she dresses. The way she dresses here, Bible communicates, speaks of her character. You can sort of tell a little bit of what she's like by how she dresses. It speaks of her character. And she lives in a way, the Bible goes on to say, that honors her husband's leadership instead of disgracing it. When her husband sits at the gate, that means her husband is in a position of power or authority, or he is an overseer or in leadership somehow. That's where the courts would meet, at the city gate. Of course, now remember, she's talking to the king. This is advice for the king. And so she says, her husband is known in the gates. So he has a position that other people know who he might be. And authority. When he sits among the elders of the land. In other words, she lives in a way that honors her husband. It doesn't disgrace her husband in any way. Well, I'd say she's got her hands full, wouldn't you? But it's not finished yet. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Mark that if you're a Bible underliner, because I do believe that many women misunderstand what's being talked about here. This is an elderly woman who is encouraging her son. This elderly woman is not saying, every day of my life I live this way. But this elderly woman has grown to learn these things, and she is sharing the wisdom. Now watch. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the future. You see that? In time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Inner tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her appearance is dignified and it is strong. And because of that, she can rejoice in the time to come. To rejoice in the time to come, you could translate that, she laughs at the future. And I guess another way to put that, if you want to bring it down to our level of thinking, she doesn't worry at all about tomorrow, about the future. She's prepared. She's ready. If it's going to be cold, family's got it. She's got food. She knows how to use the kitchen. She's not worried at all about the future. And Bible says she is praised for her wise speech. Of course, the way that the Bible puts it is she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is in the law of kindness. And she keeps an eye on the affairs of her household. In other words, she does help to manage that house, and she is not idle. She takes care. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. You're better than all of them. What's being said here? Listen closely so you don't misunderstand it, because I have had women say this. I don't know if my kids, they don't rise up and call me blessed. My husband doesn't even know I'm around unless I don't do the laundry. I'm trying to do what God says. How come this isn't happening? Well, listen closely to what the Bible says. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, or in the same manner. All right, now let's just talk about what the language means. As her children get older or old enough, they'll rise up. In other words, as they grow, they will be grateful and call her blessed or happy. Now, when is that? You stop and think about yourself, and it'll help you to understand the logic of the verse. When did you really come to a knowledge that your mom and dad weren't so stupid? When did it hit you? When you were 13? Come on. Nah. When you were 17. When you were 23. When did it hit you? You had to rise up yourself, didn't you? You had to be going for a while. You had to have kids that were teens, practically, and thought, what is wrong here? Man, my mother was a smart woman. And you get on the phone, you go, Mom, thanks. You were right. I beat him and it worked. You're one happy woman. I mean, you're raising some great grandkids here. How long does it take? Well, clearly the Bible says those children will rise up. It's not going to happen when they hit 16 and they've given their driver's license. I'm sorry, and I know mothers are looking for that. You may have to wait a long time for your son or your daughter to call you on the phone and say, thank you for raising me the way you did. Now notice, listen close, your children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also. How long is it going to take him? I'm telling you, you think this is funny, but the truth is, women go, look, we've been married 5 years, I don't think he appreciates me. He hasn't got a clue. Give him 30. Give him 40. Give him an opportunity to get all through it and turn and say, man, you have really done a great job at handling this family. We got 6 great grandkids and I never thought we'd get this far. You did a good job as a mother. You know something? Anybody that tells you that after you've been a mother 6 weeks, it's just being flattering you because they probably want you to keep cooking. But somebody that tells you that after it's been a long haul battle, it comes from the heart, and I think you appreciate it a lot more, don't you? When someone looks at you and says, you're doing a great job, you go, thanks. But when someone has been around you for the last 30 years goes, nice work, you just go, now that was worth it. That's exactly what she's telling that man. That's exactly what she's telling him to look for. She's saying, if you've got a woman that thinks it's going to happen overnight, you got your hands full. You see, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Now, to praise her, you're going to find that that language doesn't mean he looks after her and goes, praise you. Oh, Lord, you're the best. No, what it means is he's going to praise her to others. That's what the language is telling you. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. You've done good. Now we'll talk about looks. And here is the key to it, everybody. Not just for men, not just for women, but for every one of us, young and old alike. Here is the key to the entire chapter. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is empty. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Underline, everybody, shall. There's a promise. When are people going to rise up and call me blessed? When am I really going to be praised for the work I've done? When you live your life completely and all of it in the reverence and the fear of the Lord, you shall be praised, the Bible says. There's the key to it for me. There's the key to it for you, for all of us. You see, it's the reverence of the Lord that is important in this life. You and me, to fear God, to do the things that are right in His eyes, no matter who notices it, no matter who brings it up in a conversation, no matter what it brings to us, no matter where it takes us, no matter how long it is, but to just trust and serve the Lord and reverence Him. You see, favor is deceitful. And good looks are empty. You know, what we know about good looks is that gravity plays a devastating role in all of that. And, you know, we laugh at it, but there's no getting over it. I mean, aging people, it's just a little different. You'll see, you'll get there, and you might be a beauty or a handsome person. It'll go. You know, and then you'll have hair color by Lady Clairol, and, you know, and then just like, and you, you know, now you do it because purple is cute. Then you'll be doing it because silver doesn't match everything you wear. And you'll just, you know, go for the purple and the pink and the, you know. She will be rewarded for her life. You see that? The key to it, the fear of the Lord, that will last through anything. Here's something that I like. The book of Proverbs, if you probably don't remember that far back, but read Proverbs chapter 1. It begins telling us that the fear of the Lord is the most important thing. And notice the book ends telling us the same thing. The theme hasn't changed. We all know what wisdom is. Wisdom is listening to God. Wisdom is trusting in the Lord. Man or woman, doesn't matter. Wisdom is listening to God and by His strength doing what He says. Physical charm and beauty, they don't last. Godliness lasts. Not just through this life, but to the life that is to come throughout eternity. And the promise, girls, if you really want to mark down the promise, she shall be praised. If she will reverence the Lord, there will be honor in that. And verse 31 tells us, as this book closes, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Remember, the gates are where the people of authority would meet. That means they would even recognize this woman there in the gates of authority. She will be rewarded for her life, the Bible just told us, for her works. And of course, we read, let her life speak for itself. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Let her life speak for itself. Your life's going to speak for itself. You don't have to tell anybody how much you love the Lord. Your life will speak for yourself. They'll watch you for the next 20 years and they'll say, he does. He's been serving the Lord for the last 20. I've seen him. He's not perfect. He has done a lot of things wrong, but he's still walking with the Lord. She's still with the Lord. I've watched her for years and years and years, and she may be the weakest at it, but there she goes. Her life speaks for itself. She still is with the Lord. How many people do you know who said, I love the Lord, I'm a Christian, I want to serve, and yet they have walked away, and you're not even sure that they're saved? Yet you can look back, and maybe you know a man or a woman, and you've known them for the last 20 years, or the last 30 years or 40 or 50, and you say, you know, they still read their Bible. They still pray. They still fellowship with other believers. They still just love the Lord. Are they perfect? No. Do they sin? Sure they do. Do you like their attitude? Sometimes their attitude stinks, yet they still reverence the Lord. Your life, he says, speaks for itself. What does Jesus say? You can't judge hearts, so he says you'll know by their fruits what they're all about. How long does it take to produce fruit? Well, it's not going to happen in a week or 2 weeks. It's going to take time, years of time. Some of you accepted the Lord, and you've been walking with the Lord, and you've been growing, and you've been healthy and strong, and that's a blessing. Don't quit that. So, that didn't happen in my life that way. I would love to say that I wish it would have, but it didn't. I accepted the Lord and went into the trash. You know, I know many people who, they accepted the Lord, and then you couldn't tell they were saved. You couldn't tell they were Christians. And they were living like non-Christians, walking like non-Christians, eating like non-Christians, talking like non-Christians. They got themselves into the trash again, and you go, "You're saved? I mean, you're saved." And they're going, "Oh yeah, I'm saved." And there they are. But it's all right. Because if they're truly saved, notice they don't stay in the pig pen long. The prodigal son gets out away from the pigs and comes home. Pigs always are pigs, but sons and daughters, they'll get out and clean up sooner or later if they're truly sons or daughters. You could clean the pig up. Prodigal son could have cleaned the pig up, taken him home with him, but eventually he'd have wanted to go back to the mud because he's a pig. You see, that's what this is teaching us. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gate. She'll be honored. Why? Because she trusts in the Lord. And she reverences the Lord, her God. She will be honored. Her works will praise her in the gate. She said, you'll know by the fruits. And fruits take a lifetime. So don't try to push it. Don't try to fake it. We all need to take lessons from Mary. Because we can look at Mary and we can look at Martha. There are things we can learn. Mary understood what really counted. Martha knew what needed to be done, but there was a time and a place, and Jesus said, Mary's got it. She's got it. I won't take that away from her. She's got it. Martha, I'm sure, learned as time went on. So we get our examples from them, and you see the life, the fruit of the lives of people like Mary Magdalene, of people like Peter the Apostle, of people like Eutychus, of people like Timothy. You just see, God has given us His Word. So you see people like Solomon. You see people like Samson. You see people like Saul. Then you see Eli. Then you see Samuel. And you see Jephthah. And you see Gideon. And you learn. You start to say, well, there are lives that are the fruit over the long haul is good solid fruit. The fruit over the long haul in this one is not good solid fruit. You see Tamar. You see Hannah. You see Rebecca. You see Leah. And Rachel, and one of them turns out to be godly and one of them doesn't. And the one that was loved turns out to be not godly. And the one that was the most beautiful turns out, it amazes you how this works as you start to read through it. But you know it's going to be her fruit, give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. We learn the lessons as the book closes. Reverence the Lord. Give Him your life. Be sure that that is what you're all about, first and foremost. And you watch what God will do according to His promises. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You again as we finish this book of Proverbs. So much to remember. Lord, so much that we see that we come short of Your glory. We come so short of the wisdom in those 31 chapters that we just finished. But we do have this hope because Jesus Christ has come into our hearts. Lord, our hope is that You would hear our hearts and answer just as You promised and begin the process of changing us. And today's a great day to start. Even if the last 10 years haven't been so solid. Lord, today's a great day to start. Even if the last 20, 30, 40, 50. Lord, today is the day. Now is the time, Your Word says. We don't fret with yesterday. And as we learn, that virtuous woman sure doesn't worry at all about the future. Because, Lord, it's in Your hands. Our lives are in Your hands. Whatever You say, whatever You think. Lord, that we would worship You. That we would praise You. Thank You for showing us the way of wisdom, Lord. Now work it into our hearts. Chapter 31. Hopefully we'll finish this book of Proverbs with 31 chapters. What did it